All right, 1 p.m. having arrived, I'm going to call the January 21st, 2021 meeting of the Taxes Committee to order. And the first order of business is the roll call. So I will ask Ms. Griska to take the roll.
Marquardt.
Present.
Marquardt, present. Lislegard.
Present.
Lislegard, present. David. David. Abaje.
Present.
Abaje, present. Carlson.
Carlson, present.
Carlson, present. Detmer.
Present.
Detmer, present. Garofalo.
Garofalo, present.
Garofalo, present. Gomez.
Gomez, present.
Gomez, present. Her.
Her present.
Her present. Hertas.
Hertas present.
Hertas present. Howard.
Howard present.
Howard present. McDonald.
McDonald present.
McDonald present. Miller.
Present.
Miller present. Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. Mortensen.
Present.
Mortensen, present. Robbins.
Present.
Robbins, present. Sandell.
Present.
Sandell, present. Schultz.
Present.
Schultz, present. Stevenson.
Present.
Stevenson, present. Swadzinski.
Swadzinski present.
Swadzinski present. Joachim.
Joachim present.
Joachim present. David.
David's present.
David's present. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Griska. We do have a quorum. We also have the January 19th minutes before us. Representative Lislegard, would you care to move approval of those minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lislegard moves approval of the January 19th, 2021 minutes of the Taxes Committee. Are there any questions, changes, comments from any of the members? I'm not seeing any, so if you would temporarily unmute yourself for the vote. All those in favor of approval of these minutes, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion does prevail. The January 19th, 2021 minutes of the Taxes Committee are approved. Also, just want to put your attention towards the memo on the January 21st referrals to the division. Those are included in your packets. So we are now to the point of our ready to hear our first bill of the 2021 session in Taxes Committee. Representative Hertaus, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, I'd like to move House File 118 for possible inclusion.
Very good. Representative Hertaus moves House File 118 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. So members, the way this will work, and I'm some new members and so forth, we will have Representative Hertaus explain his bill. Also, if he was to have had an amendment to put things into form, we usually would do that right away so the author can talk to the bill under the form that they would like that. Then we will open it up to members' questions. And then, with the notice of this meeting, we then allow, the public opportunity to request for either a written or an oral testimony or statement. And I will state whether or not there is something after questions from the committee. On this bill, we do not, but that's the way that will kind of work. And then after that, if there's any other further after testimony by the public and others, if there's other questions and so forth by the committee, we'll come back. And then the author, of course, always has the last word. So with that, Representative Hertaus, please explain your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And the House File 118 is known better as the Stillborn Tax Credit. I'd like to let every member know that we already have this program in existence in Minnesota, and those families who should suffer the consequences of having a stillborn birth are eligible for a tax credit, just as though anyone else who has a live baby delivered, if just for example, if it were born on the last day of the year, December 31st, would also be eligible for a deduction on their filing of tax returns. Members, this issue came before me a few years ago, that there was just a small minor defect with the provisions of our existing law. And I was contacted a few years ago by an individual out in the western part of the state in Representative Marquardt's district where he resides, that there was a constituent there. I was notified by a colleague who I met legislatively, who is a member of the North Dakota legislature, but happens to prepare taxes and returns for residents of that area on the border. And his clients, who are Minnesota residents, incurred a stillborn death. And he contacted me 4 years ago about this issue, and we've been working on it since then. And Representative Marquardt, Chair Marquardt, has also been very helpful on this issue. But the reason it needed to be fixed a little bit is on some of our border communities, the medical provider is across the state line. And in this instance, we had a family who experienced a stillborn death, born stillborn across the state line. And the issue arose with regard to birth certificates and eligibility and the fact that this happened outside of the state, even though these people lived in Minnesota and would be eligible for the credit if it had occurred inside our borders. And so the efforts and the conversations that have occurred over the last couple of sessions was just pretty much getting the language right that would suffice for all of those who are concerns about the issue. So it was basically modified to allow birth certificates or death certificates, in this case, to be issued by another state. And under our current law, it does provide this credit for spouses who are in the military, who would give birth or not give birth outside of the state because of their service to our country. And there was a couple other little things that came up over the last couple of sessions, but it just hasn't quite made it across the finish line up to this date. But I think there being no more testimony and no more opposition to some of the technicality, some of it had emerged around the issue of surrogacy and who really is the person on the birth certificate. But I think the language now cleans that all up. There seems to be peace in the valley, and it's rather an innocuous little change that would entitle many folks, well, I shouldn't say many because there aren't that many stillborn births, but nonetheless, those who suffer this to be able to claim that credit. And there is a fiscal note attached. Members, you probably have that in your packet. You'll notice that the cost for savings is negligible in all cases. So it is retroactive to when the 2016 tax year. So anybody who may have suffered a stillborn death as a Minnesota resident would be eligible, if not already having claimed this, to be retroactive back to that point. With that, Mr. Chair, I think that summarizes the bill pretty clearly, and certainly open for any questions if there are any.
Thank you very much, Representative Hertaus. Are there any questions from members on House File 118?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Representative Moran.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Hertaus, my question is around who gets to determine to claim the child. would that be the mother, the father, or is that something that they have to make that decision about within themselves? Well, how do we know?
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Moran. The manner in which the qualification for the credit is determined by the name on the birth certificate, and so there's no interceding with regard to the law as to who's claiming a parentage for the child. It is that which has been placed upon the birth certificate. And in that instance, if it might be a surrogate, which is probably very rare or very minuscule of that happening. And again, I remind you that this is really trying to fix a problem that occurs across the border, particularly those who may deliver it in a facility on our border towns. That is resolved between the parties involved. So there's no family court or government institution that is declaring or making a determination.
Representative Moran, any follow-up?
Not Mr. Chair, Representative Hurdle. And I guess in this instance, you know, the text, I'm going to say protocol, whatever happens between, you know, divorced couples who have at one point were, you know, filing separately, they just usually make that decision themselves. And we have, you know, checks and balances in place that can just work to ensure that it's one parent who is green.
Yes, thank you, Representative Moran. Any other questions? I don't see any other questions. And as I had mentioned earlier, there were no requests from the public to provide either written or oral testimony on this bill. And Representative Hertaus, thank you for bringing this forward. You explained it right on. You know, in Clay County, where I live, we don't have any hospitals in Clay County. And so folks go over to Fargo, the Sanford and Essentia systems. In fact, while my parents lived in rural Glendon when I was born, I was born at St. John's Hospital in Fargo, North Dakota. So it's pertinent, especially for those along the border. So I thank you for bringing this forward. So,
thank you.
Any other comments? Any Representative Hertaus, closing statement?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. This, like I mentioned, has been in the works for a while, and it's not like a frontline issue, but certainly no reason that we can't include it in an omnibus tax bill this year, provided that we do have a tax bill. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 118 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Very good. Representative Hertaus moves that House File 118 be laid over for possible inclusion into a tax omnibus bill. Very good. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Next bill is House File 65, Representative Cleburne. Would anyone care to move Representative Cleburne's House File 65?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Stevenson.
I will move House File 65.
Representative Stevenson's moved House File 65 for, to be laid over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Very good. Representative Cleburne, welcome to the Tax Committee. And if you would proceed with House File 65. And before you go, just a little primer, I guess, before we get to this. What we've been doing kind of in the past on these refundable sales tax exemptions on materials and supplies and so forth, is we've been taking them one at a time. So if you remember the 2019 bill, for those who are around, we did a number of these refundable sales tax exemptions, but it was just for public safety facilities, police and fire stations and so forth. And I can't remember exactly the number. But we know that while we do that, this isn't the best policy, because there might be cities doing these very same projects, but they don't know to come to the state and they're not getting this benefit. So kind of going one by one isn't the best way probably to do it. And we have had a couple bills last session. Representative Swazinski had a bill last time that would just be kind of a blanket for all city construction projects. And the cost for the biennium was about $60 million. Representative Davids last session had a bill that would provide these refundable sales tax exemptions just for police and fire stations. And the revenue estimate on that over a biennium was about $8 million. So just kind of an idea that, so it kind of comes down to kind of what you have at the end. And you can see that this bill that Representative Cleburne has is like $320,000. So, you know, you give you a kind of a perspective of kind of some various options that we could do as we approach this. But anyway, with that, Representative Cleburne, please present your bill to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am Jenny Cleburne, the representative for Plymouth. And with me today is Dave Callister, the city manager for the city of Plymouth, Michael Goldstein, the public safety director for the city of Plymouth, and Eric Fadden, who is the incoming public safety director for the city of Plymouth. I'd like to begin today with a thank you for you, Mr. Chair, for including this construction tax refund bill in the last year's tax bill. Unfortunately, these provisions were removed during the final negotiations. Construction of certain local tax government facilities is the topic of this bill. And in lines 2.6 through 2.8, you will see an addition of subsection 7, which is the request for the city of Plymouth for sales tax and use tax exemption for materials, supplies, and equipment purchased related to two fire stations for the city of Plymouth. I thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for your consideration of this bill. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would ask that you please recognize Public Safety Director, Mr. Goldstein.
Very good. So members, what we'll do is let's hear from the testifiers and then hold your questions. There's three testifiers and then we'll go to members. So Chief Goldstein, welcome to the committee. If you would introduce yourself and then begin with your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. Can you hear me okay?
Just a we can. Up.
Great. Yes. Thank you. Again, my name is Mike Goldstein. I'm the Public Safety Director and Police Chief for the City of Plymouth. Thank you for allowing me to testify today regarding the city's request for a sales tax exemption for the construction of two fire stations within our community. My comments today will be brief and we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. 6 years ago, the city integrated its police and fire departments under a public safety umbrella. And through that process, a comprehensive evaluation of all services and facilities was commissioned. As a result, the department has revamped its staffing practices, overhauled several operational considerations, and has determined that two of the city's three fire stations are in extreme need of replacement, expansion, and or renovation to best serve our growing community. One of the stations is more than 40 years old, is past its useful life, and cannot accommodate our new staffing model. The second station is 32 years old and is in need of expansion and extreme repair to carry the department forward. The fire department now consists of staff stations providing 24/7 emergency services and responds to more than 2,000 calls per year. Due to the size and complexity of the department, it is a key co-responder to mutual aid requests throughout the region. The approximate total cost for this project is $20.5 million, which includes approximately $500,000 or so in sales tax. The city is here today requesting an exemption so that those funds can be placed back into the project to ease the total cost burden on our community. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding this project, and I thank you kindly for your consideration on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Representative Cleburne, do you have another testifier?
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. I do not believe that City Manager Callister or incoming Chief Fadden are planning to testify, but they are here if there are questions that we need their response for.
Very good. Thank you. So we do have Dave Callister, Plymouth City Manager, and also Eric Fadden, Plymouth Deputy Police Chief on the line. Very good. So members, I've got a quite Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, this question would be for you either with the first bill or the second bill. Both these seem to be pretty non-controversial. I certainly don't hear any objections from the committee or the public, specifically on the second bill. This is something that we just do. Is there I know normally we handle these things, you know, there's been a track record of hanging these things on to one giant catch-all omnibus bill. Is there any reason these two bills just couldn't progress by themselves as long as there's bipartisan agreement in the House that we don't let the Senate turn it into a missile and fire it back at us? Is there any reason these can't progress by themselves?
Representative Garofalo, that's not the way we're going to do it. I mean, certainly technically they could, but we're going to have a tax omnibus bill. And we're going to hear all of the bills and then decide what would be the best way to kind of put together a tax omnibus bill or package that would create the most benefits for folks. So I appreciate your question, but this is probably going to go the route of most of the times or most of the ways we deal with things here in tax committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly recognize that's how we've done it. And it's happened under Republicans and DFLers, but as I think most observers would recognize, you know, last session, when we had the leadership tribunal, that was a continuing trend of consolidation and power where fewer and fewer people were deciding things. So with these two items, it would seem like, again, if there wasn't bipartisan agreement to reject anything the Senate sent back at us, I would understand why there would be concern for sending over a tax bill, which has to originate in the House, and then being that could be used as a vehicle. But I guess to the author of the bill, Representative Cleburne, do you have a preference on whether this gets laid over into an omnibus bill, or would you be open to trying to move this by itself instead of waiting for the end of session?
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. I appreciate the question. Apologies, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, I do appreciate the question, and I will defer to the chair as that is the customary procedure in the House. Thank you.
Representative Garofalo.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the customary procedure is about deferring the chairs. I certainly don't do that. I kind of do what I want. So I would encourage Representative Cleburne to maybe adopt the Garofalo mindset as opposed to the traditional DFL mindset. But Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the answer and the question or the answers to my questions. And again, I would just ask you and staff in those areas where there's bipartisan agreement that we progress these bills separately. There's no reason to put everything into a high stakes, take it or leave it omnibus bill at the end of session. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo, I appreciate those comments and kind of what I had mentioned early on. We don't know for sure what we're going to do, for example, with the issue that Representative Cleburne has brought forward. I mean, as I mentioned, Representative Swazinski had a bill that dealt with all of these. We could do that depending on a target. Or Representative Davids, the bill he brought forward just dealing with police and fire stations. So, you know, you hear the bills so that, I mean, one might weigh against another bill, no matter what that issue might be. So I certainly understand that, but I mean, there could be ultimately a better proposal that not only would include Representative Cleburne's, but many others, and that would actually be better policy if we could do it kind of blanket-wise rather than piecemealing it one at a time. So, I just think the best product would probably be to hear the bills and then put together an omnibus bill. Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Cleburne. I always enjoy hearing Representative Cleburne's presentation. She's always so good. Representative Cleburne and I are from similar communities, and a little later in the session, I'm going to be carrying a bill which is very similar to this one as well, asking that the city of Woodbury be allowed to avoid sales tax on public buildings. But I have to say I'm a little uneasy about it, and I suppose Representative Cleburne or perhaps the tax chair or someone else can help me out with this. Why is it that the cities, in this case Plymouth, I guess, or in my case Woodbury, should be exempt from the sales tax when it's our communities that benefit from the construction and use of these buildings. Now, we have a terrific police department. We have an excellent fire department, and I support their work, and our city administration, as I know, in Plymouth is similarly thoughtful. But it's just a question I have, and maybe it's because I'm brand new to the committee and would appreciate the perspective that Ginny has, that Representative Cleaborn has, and you do too.
So Representative Sandell, maybe staff could address this a little bit. Some of this has to do with liability for cities dealing with construction and the materials used and whether or not you have the contractor purchase the supplies or the city purchases the supplies. And so that's why it's actually kind of a refundable sales tax that would go back. So, but maybe staff, would that be Ms. Hagler that may deal with this, or
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Hagler, would you care to respond to that?
Mr. Chair, this is Alex Hagler with House Research, and what you just said is, as far as I understand, correct, that it is not the city itself purchasing the materials. It is the contractor or subcontractors who are acting on behalf of the city, and that is why they would pay the sales tax upfront when they purchase it and then would get refunded from the state. If the city were doing it themselves, they would have the exemption, but otherwise, because it's not the government entity doing the action, that is why that the refundable exemption would need to be in place.
So Ms. Hagler, a few years ago, we exempted cities and local governments from, in fact, I think that was 2013 maybe, from the sales tax. And that's been kind of on and off over the lifetime of the state. So if the city purchased it, it would be sales tax exempt. Yeah. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
So what's happening in this respect is trying to reduce the liability from the city and having the contractor purchase the equipment, the supplies, so it's under the contractor, and then getting reimbursed because the city would have gotten reimbursed. So I don't know if that explains it better, Representative Sandell.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Claiborne, thank you very much. It does. It's very helpful. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Mortensen, Representative Cleaborne, we'll have you answer that.
Also, I would just like for Representative Sandell to know that it is so much easier to do these exemptions and refunds before the construction begins than post-construction. It often causes extra work to our vendors and suppliers when we try to do it afterwards. So if anything that we can do pre-construction, the better.
Representative Mortensen.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I have more of a comment. In this hyper-partisan environment we're in, I kind of want to pile on to Representative Garofalo's statements. I mean, these bills, as a standalone bill, I think the public would love to see some bipartisan support for these things. I think it would be an encouraging and reinforcing message for them, because if these all get rolled into some giant tax omnibus bill with many bills making many changes, I know people like me, I can't vote for those things, or I would certainly be willing to vote for these as standalone bills. And I think the public would appreciate seeing some bipartisanship. So I would urge those colleagues that decide where to put these and how they come to light or come to the floor, keep that in mind.
Thank you. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure what committee Representative Mortensen was talking about when he mentioned hyper-partisan, but the tax committee is not, has not been, and should never be hyper-partisan at all. The tax committee works on tax issues together. And my good friend, Chair Garofalo, having been the tax chair as many years as I have, I can't imagine bringing a bill forward that said the word tax in it to the House floor. What could possibly go wrong, Mr. Chairman? Thank you.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Chair Davids. Any other comments before we go? Representative Mortensen, do you have your hand raised again? Or
I do. I just want to address that. Obviously, what I'm referring to is the hyper-partisanship across the state and the country. I'm not necessarily referring to this committee. And if people don't see the hyper-partisanship across the country, then I would implore them to take their blinders off.
Any further comments on House File 65?
Well, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I believe the comment was made something about hyperpartisan and referred to taxes. Obviously, nationwide, there is hyperpartisanship. That's quite obvious. But I hope we can keep this committee the way it's been in the past and not be so partisan. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, thank you for those comments. Representative Kleeborg, any closing comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your time and your energy and your effort, all of you, current chair and past chairs. I would like to say, in this period where we want to be told that it's hyperpartisan, each of us as representatives have the choice to not make it so. We can work together, especially on issues as important as these, the public safety of our communities. And I would just like to say to my colleague, Representative Garofalo, clearly you and I need to get to know each other better, as you would learn very quickly that I have a mind of my own. And I'm happy to share those conversations with you anytime you wish to meet, either by Zoom or by telephone. Thank you to my testifiers for coming today, and thank you, committee, for working with us on this important issue. I ask for your support. Chair Marquardt, when you have your targets, I do hope that you will keep Plymouth's request front and center, and we can deliver these important fire stations for our community and for our mutual aid partners as well. Thank you for your time today.
Well, Representative Kleeborn, thank you. And from past experience from last term, I am well aware of how hard you work and push for your bills and for your community. And I'm sure I'll be hearing from you down the road as this session moves on. I appreciate that very much.
You can count on that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson, do you renew your motion?
I certainly do, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson moves that, renews his motion that House File 118 be laid over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much, Representative Kleeborn, and thank you for the testifiers for being here today. Really appreciate that. So that concludes our activity for today. Next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday, next Tuesday, we're going to have a presentation of the 2020 tax expenditure budget from the Department of Revenue Research Department. And then on Wednesday, the next day, we're actually going to look at a 2011 tax expenditure review report, and we have some of the folks who actually worked on that report that will be part of the testifiers that day. So I'm really kind of looking forward to that. And so nothing scheduled yet for next Thursday, but that's kind of it. So members, thank you for the week's work. Have a wonderful weekend. And we will see you next week. And with that, members, we are adjourned.